stakeholder alignment with the corporate vision begins with stakeholder involvement with the vision's creation. So it begins with the stakeholders asking them for their perspectives. You know, what do they think is possible? What do they want for the organization? What do they think the organization can accomplish and aspire to? And then how do they see themselves as a part of helping the vision to be achieved?
This is the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast, brought to you by Nessel and Associates, a Newport Beach, California-based ERP organizational change management firm serving the private equity industry. The ERP OCJ seeks to share expertise, insight, experience, and research, and to create effective conversation to help guide ERP organizational change to real, measurable, and verified success. And now, here's your ERP expert and host, the founder of Nessel & Associates, Dr. Jack Nessel.
Hey, Jack here. Today we're going to dive into how effective ERP organizational change, stakeholder engagement, and alignment can be an invaluable tool for business readiness, continuous improvement, and value realization. All of us here at the ERP OCJ hope you find this podcast useful as we share lessons learned, discover best practices, and explore the human element components of ERP organizational change. In this episode, we will discuss ERP organizational change, stakeholder engagement, and alignment with Jennifer Sheely. Jennifer is founder and CEO of Innogize. We do know that ERP organizational change can be challenging. Effective strategy and alignment of several influences is critical, including business strategy, leadership, innovation, and stakeholder engagement and alignment. Effective decision-making helps leaders and organizations to ensure long-term success. Today, we will further explore these ideas with Jennifer. Once again, we have a lot of fun stuff to discuss, so let's get started. Joining us from the Columbus, Ohio area, Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So as you said, Jennifer Sheely, I'm the founder and CEO of Innogize. We are a boutique strategy and executive advisory firm. We leverage proprietary frameworks built upon foundations of curiosity, empathy, and adaptability, which we found lead to better innovation, strategy, and execution.
That's great. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, let's discuss that further. And so I think my first question for you, Jennifer, was an article that you had titled "The Future of Meaningful Innovation. Drop the anxiety, keep the empathy." I really like that article. I thought it was certainly a piece to reflect upon. But what is the connection between empathy and innovation?
Yeah, thank you. That article I wrote with my friend Sue Bevan Baggett, as we were contemplating some of the key learnings we wanted to be sure to keep from the past few years, specifically increased empathy for one another being at the top of the list. Now, the connection between empathy and innovation has several layers, but I'll highlight two. So fundamentally, there are two ways that innovation begins. The first is sparked by a new technology or product idea based on what we think people want, to building it and then pushing it out. So this is an inward-looking approach that leverages our product or technological assets, but sometimes it misses the mark because what we really want to do is a second piece where meaningful innovation happens, which is born from the study of human desires and feelings, where we're really leveraging empathy. Leveraging empathy allows innovation to start with a deep understanding of what's truly important in people's lives. Watching closely, asking questions, listening with an empathetic ear to what's important to our stakeholders and how they experience the world. And then once their full range of needs is revealed, including those emotional needs, we have a more complete roadmap to guide innovation and to build our value proposition. So I'll share an example. I'm the immediate past board chair of a medical device company that creates and manufactures custom application 3D printed prosthetics. Now, certainly the prosthetics need to provide functional excellence that helps recipients actualize the task the prosthetic was created for. Could be ride a bike, playing a musical instrument, or catching a ball. Mm-hmm. However, it's the feelings created through the prosthetic. So thinking about those of empowerment, of confidence, the belief that you can achieve anything that you set out to do, that are really the foundations for innovation. The ability to create, to produce, and provide accessibility for a product that elicits those feelings for others is really what aligns the stakeholders of the organization. And then for that second level, I'll just quickly reference a recent Catalyst study, which details that when people report their leaders were more empathetic, they were more likely to be innovative. And so 61% of employees compared to only 13% with less empathetic leaders. So you ask yourself, you know, why do people feel they can be more innovative when there's a culture of empathy? When empathy that we show towards others, when we authentically look to place ourselves in their shoes, we create a culture, an atmosphere of trust and psychological safety. So that empathy makes it okay to share ideas without fear of reprisal, no matter the role of the individual or level or hierarchy in the organization. So by creating those spaces where ideation and thought sharing is safe and encouraged, we're creating that greater fuel and more fertile ground for innovation.
That is great, Jennifer. I love that response. And I love the example. And I think if I were to distill that down into a sentence, I would say that empowerment and confidence inspired and powered by empathy drives innovation, which requires trust and psychological safety.
Yes.
I want to drill further into this idea of innovation. And in fact, I'm going to borrow another one of your articles called Be Purposeful and Innovative. And I apologize, Jennifer, I'm not sure if that was with a co-author. I'm not trying to leave them out or not, but
nope.
Okay. You mentioned there in that article that there are some key areas to be mindful of. And you state that through purpose and innovation, we can change the world around us. It's happening in medicine, technology, multiple other spaces. You can make it happen in your sphere as well. So I would like to discuss these over the next few questions, actually, Jennifer. And the first question to that article is define your purpose. You talk about defining your purpose and how critical that is to being purposeful and innovative. Can you tell our listeners more about that idea?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So when we're thinking about engaging and aligning our stakeholders, clearly articulating a greater purpose beyond today's tasks is critically important, as well as thinking creatively and innovatively as we work to achieve it. So I'll share, I recently participated in an industry conference, and the CEO of a large pharma company was sharing his vision of the organization's impact over the next 3 to 5 years. And what he spoke about was simply the financial results that they'd be looking to achieve. Now, I understand the need for solid financial returns as much as the next person, but sharing a one-dimensional vision that focused solely on dollars and cents is just rarely inspiring, especially in today's world. First, many of us are looking for greater meaning in the companies that we choose to work with. You can look at also a recent narrative from BlackRock CEO Larry Fink and other major investors that are urging executives to articulate a role for their companies beyond profit making, implying that doing so will affect their valuation. So it's why I advocate for and coach leaders to be reflective of both their own purpose and their organizations. You know, so to your question, we need to ask yourself, you know, what do you believe in? What are you willing to take brave steps for? What inspires you to be courageous? And then take a pause to reflect on these questions so we can articulate values, what you find energizing, and let that serve as a compass for navigating forward. And as the leader of an organization, you should be asking these questions of yourself and of your stakeholders. Again, their perspectives foster stronger ideation, lend greater depth and breadth of understanding, and inclusion of their inputs also increases alignment and strengthens strategy execution as you move from where you want to be today into tomorrow and beyond.
That's great. I think tactical advice. So let's talk a little bit more about that. What would you tell organizational stakeholders about innovation in terms of what sort of tactical action could organizational leadership and organizational stakeholders in general take? And especially in terms of the one point you just mentioned with reflecting and take inventory of yourself. Can you add to that?
Sure. So I think, you know, from a leader perspective, we need to take those inventories. I think if I'm speaking to the organizational stakeholders about innovation, it's for those stakeholders to realize that each person has a unique value to offer simply by bringing forward themselves and their perspectives. You know, each of us has different strengths, talents, skills, and life experiences that can be used to creatively solve the problems before us. And bringing those together collectively is powerful. You know, one of my favorite quotes following Gandhi's, you know, be the change you wish to see in the world,
right.
is Steven Anderson's, you know, alone we are smart, but together we are brilliant. And so I would encourage stakeholders, when invited to share their perspectives and inputs, to do so, and for leaders to act with empathy and create a culture where empathy is valued. And I think you'll see the enhanced results.
Oh, that's great. I want to talk with you a little bit about, in that same article, Jennifer, Be Purposeful and Innovative, you talked about this idea of focus. And as we know, especially in large scale ERP organizational change, focus can be tough, you know, both from leadership and just kind of keeping your eye on the prize, so to speak, and then just at an individual level as well. What can you tell our listeners about the value of focus? Any advice there?
Yeah.
And how can you be tactical and deliberate about maintaining focus?
So I think I'll echo some pieces that you just stated, and that it is hard, but it is necessary. And focus doesn't come by chance. It takes great intentionality. So the value of focus is being able to really hone in on what is most important to moving your organization's vision and value forward in the most effective ways. You know, we can't be great at everything. We don't have the resources.
Yeah.
So we need to choose what we want to be great at, focus on that space, and make decisions accordingly. Organizational strategy is something we do a lot of at Energize. We work with organizations to identify 3 to 5 key areas of focus. We're really looking for breakthrough results. Employment of focus is critical to any organization's long-term growth and success. If we're saying yes to everything, unfortunately, we're unable to be great at the things that matter most. One of the pieces, if you're looking from a tactical perspective, that we employ, Energize, and partner with companies on is doing strategy check-ins and recalibrations. So most organizations, I'll speak from an organizational strategy perspective, but this could also be a transformative ERP initiative, set long-term strategies and don't necessarily revisit what they're doing well and or what might be enhanced, patched, or pivoted, and focused on as often as they should. In fact, there's a Norton and Kaplan study that states that 90% of companies fail to execute on their strategies effectively. And so that importance of and the discipline of focus and alignment helps organizations to stay on track.
So true. Wonderful advice. You know, I think to kind of tie the first couple of questions here, or I should say the last couple of questions, you know, we talked about focus and innovation and purpose, and that requires a degree because we're all humans and we work, you know, we're all within a workspace with our colleagues and friends. What can you say in terms of building relationships in order to accomplish purpose and innovation and focus? Is there a relationship there and how valuable is it?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of different pieces when you think about relationships in those space. So, you know, purpose guides effective innovation, and we need to know what we're aiming for and the aspirations of our efforts. You know, relationships between each other are critical to ideation, to alignment, and to execution. No transformational initiative is successful in a bubble.
Yeah.
We all have blind spots. Mm-hmm. So while, again, one mind is good, many minds with a diverse set of perspectives is better. As human beings, we do have needs for connectivity. We want to be involved with meaningful projects and activities, and we can often be challenged to think more boldly about our capabilities. You know, I love the story of JFK's moonshot. You know, it was about people from a variety of backgrounds and experiences coming together to see how they could put someone on the moon. And at first they said, can't be done. But, they were re-challenged. And, when they let go of pre-existing ideas of what was possible, when people really came together as a cohesive team, valuing each other's perspectives, listening authentically, clearly absorbing, not only did they put someone on the moon, but they actually realized they had the expertise that would have allowed them to do so 10 years prior.
Yeah.
And so you can see how important that relationship piece is, that listening to each other, working cohesively together is to any transformational initiative.
Yeah, that's a great example. And, you know, and I think, you know, to your point that to accomplish that end requires a great deal of alignment with the vision, right? And I know, Jennifer, one question that you ask your businesses, your clients and leaders is, well, are you aware of all your stakeholder groups and are they aligned with your vision? And one of the things in our practice is typically, and within any organization, you have multiple stakeholder groups. And a lot of times they can have different levels of knowledge or motivation or organizational influences that can be different across these different groups. And so in general, what would you tell our listeners in terms of how do you approach stakeholder alignment in order to accomplish this corporate vision? Obviously, this can be very challenging, but can you provide any more insight and or tactical advice on that point?
Sure. And I think it goes back to being intentional with conversations. And so stakeholder alignment with the corporate vision begins with stakeholder involvement with the vision's creation. So it begins with the stakeholders asking them for their perspectives. You know, what do they think is possible? What do they want for the organization? What do they think the organization can accomplish and aspire to? And then how do they see themselves as a part of helping the vision to be achieved? And following that, it's staying in communication. So these are not one-off conversations where we ask for input on the front end, which while critically important, it needs to be ongoing dialogue and staying again in communication with stakeholders, letting them know here's how your perspectives played a part in crafting the vision and setting the goals. Here's how we would love to work with you together on achieving them.
Let me ask you this, Jennifer, and let's maybe drill down one more layer on that, on this point of stakeholder alignment. And, you know, a lot of that has to do, as I'd mentioned when I asked the question about, you know, motivation. Different stakeholder groups have various levels of motivation. But how do you know if stakeholders are inspired and engaged and even motivated to realize those organizational goals and desires? So getting alignment and for everyone to say, hey, we agree to the vision, but how do you kind of inspire and keep them engaged? Any tips in that area?
Yeah, so I'll maybe break that down into two pieces because I think the inspiration piece is augmented from maybe the data on how are people doing piece, right? So surveys are certainly a great tool for collecting and analyzing data in this space. I've done sophisticated Gallup surveys as well as more simplistic pieces via SurveyMonkey. You know, some companies are actually beginning to use Net Promoter Scores with their employees. And then you have those such as Google with the Google Geist do their own internally branded annual survey. So it's not necessarily too difficult to set goals and maybe key performance indicators in this space. I think the harder part and going back to that inspiring piece is often determining what needs to be done to increase engagement. What will people rally around, which is where empathetically connecting with stakeholders via I would say authentically curious conversations comes into play. So as you can, having those one-on-one conversations, you know, from a team perspective, this could be with your direct reports. But if you're working on an organizational strategy or greater transformative initiative, you would want conversations to take place with representatives from each of those key stakeholder groups. I think you can get tremendous insights in asking, you know, what are people seeing? What are people hearing? What are people feeling? What's important to them? You know, what's their perspective on X? You know, how would they implement or improve Y? And it's going to be those beyond the quantitative data, some of those qualitative dialogue insights that are going to help inform how to inspire and how to rally around the places that you're looking to go.
Oh, so true. And I like the word that you've used, empathetically connecting. What a powerful notion if you really think about it. And I think that's the key. You know, I think some organizations and leadership is better at that than others, but what a significant influence that is, huh? You know, having that capability, I would think it seems that that's kind of the glue that in the end kind of pulls everything together.
Yeah, and I think the great thing is that it is a learned skill. So even if we're not there yet, if it's truly where we desire to go, you know, it's a skill that we can strengthen.
So you're saying that leadership, it's a learning process. It's not something you're necessarily born with or without. You can learn some of this stuff.
I think some people are inherently born with some maybe charismatic or other traits that mm-hmm. might create maybe some of those first leadership opportunities.
Yeah.
But I think that those that grow as leaders within the organization, again, it's an intentional space where they want to learn, yeah. where they want to grow, and where they want to do the best by their organization, their stakeholders, and the people that they serve.
Great point. Needs to be an intentional space. And I think that requires reflection, which you had mentioned earlier. And I like the tactical advice you gave about utilizing surveys. And I think, there's other various tools, but I think especially well-written surveys, they're a great way to take that, which is kind of subjective and abstract, and kind of pull that into a form that's more concrete and objective and something that creates something to have productive conversation around. Right. And that
absolutely
definitely great tools there that really can help organizations get a sense for where they really stand in terms of, some of these pretty important ideas that you're sharing with our listeners today. Well, Jennifer, really fun. Great insight. My favorite question, I think, that I'd like to ask you that we ask all of our listeners, and it's the last question we ask. And the reason we do that is the ERP Organizational Change Journal is really all about shared and collaborative learning. It's learning from each other, learning from our friends, learning from our colleagues. And so if you're going to give advice to an organization regarding a successful ERP implementation or any organizational change effort for that matter as a tool for business continuous improvement and value realization, what would you say? What would you tell them? How would you distill down this conversation? And what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Sure. I'd begin with a recommendation of connecting the ERP implementation, the need for continuous improvement and the necessary value realization to the organization's purpose, its vision, and the individual needs and motivations of the various stakeholder groups. Transformational initiatives should be built with people, not for people. So from a learning perspective, seek input from stakeholder groups early and often, and create safe spaces for candid and transparent conversations where stakeholders feel their thoughts and experiences are truly valued. Leadership should set the tone for the culture of the organization. Being authentically curious, employing empathy in interactions through seeking to understand diverse perspective and points of view, create an organization where transformations and innovation can flourish. So focusing on the opportunities and the milestones that best support the organizational direction, maximizing purpose and impact, and then deploying resources accordingly.
What wonderful advice. I really like that. That's well said. Jennifer, what a fun conversation. This really was fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your dedication to your trade. Actually, can you tell our listeners before we go, how can they get in touch with you? What's the best way for our listeners to reach out and get some more great advice and insight?
Sure. So I'm always happy to connect via LinkedIn. Jennifer Scheele, it's Scheehle. Or they can visit our Energize website, which is Energize, Energize.com, and happy to connect in either space.
Super. Thanks again, Jennifer. We appreciate it. Be well, and we'll talk soon. We clearly need to have you back on again. What a great conversation. We appreciate it.
Oh, me as well. Thanks so much, Jack.
You bet. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of the ERP OCJ podcast. This podcast is intended as a forum to study, share, and discuss ERP organizational change successes and challenges. We discuss the people, process, and technological components of ERP organizational change by drawing on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, and practitioner expertise and experience. We are incredibly grateful to have friends, colleagues, and mentors join us in our podcast as we seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community and contribute to its success by bringing research and practice closer together. We want to make sure this is the most useful and insightful ERP podcast you listen to, and we'd love your help in doing so by leaving us feedback and a review. A great place to do so is at Apple Podcasts. just click on the Listen in Apple Podcasts link, then click Ratings and Reviews, and let us know your thoughts. You can get more info about the show, including show notes and episode highlights for this and all of our episodes, by visiting NesselandAssociates.com and clicking the podcast option. Please join us again next week as we discuss the latest ERP, organizational change research, practice, and stories. And don't forget to follow us on social media, hashtag the ERPOCJ. Thanks again for listening. Have a fantastic week.